Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome back to the show here on a Friday. Sun Guy with you, QG, will be joining us shortly. Our guest will be on later in the program. Some show notes if you're looking for some wrestling this week. Tonight, WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. ACW in Hagerstown, Maryland. 3-2-1 Battle in Seattle, Washington. PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut. SECW in Whitesburg, Georgia. 3XW in Des Moines, Iowa. And EPW in Athens, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, both Emerge and HPW back in Columbus, Indiana. NWWA in Portland, Oregon. PWF in Spadaway, Washington, where you can find myself performing. SPW in Hansville, Alabama. VCW in Sylacauga, Alabama. WXW in Mineola, Minnesota. Wrestle Club having the 3rd anniversary in Middleton, Idaho. MCW in Galena, Maryland. WWA in Livermore, Kentucky. PPW in Flint, Michigan. AWF in Little Falls, Minnesota. ICW in Marion, Indiana. OSW in Odessa, Texas. TWE in San Antonio, Texas. WDWA in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. BBPW in Sun Valley, California. And Northwest Pro in Lake Huron, Washington. So get out there, support your local independent promotions, wherever you might find them. Later today, we will be joined by Tyson Tank, former SCW champion, is of course part of the WUW roster. QT hopefully will be here soon. QT a little bit late apparently today, so I will put out an APB on QT Vokes for a few minutes. Hopefully he will be calling in very shortly. Hopefully he has not forgotten the number. But it is possible. You never know with QT Vokes. He could have forgot the number very possibly. But I will put out the APB as we wait. Hopefully he is not studying Mies Barnett's 4 thumbtack match from years ago. But he may be. He just may be. So I guess while I wait, we will go to a brief station break as we play a bit of music to entertain you, the fans.
Yeah.
are you with us?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Now, QT, earlier this week you released your top 9 7/8 rankings. A bit of controversy, I understand. Can you explain this?
Well, I haven't really seen any wrestlers post any controversial posts, so I'm going to take your word for it. Maybe you have heard through the grapevine that there has been controversy.
I have heard possibly someone very upset that Ian Bear and Brian Armstrong not ranked.
Oh, yeah, that I've heard through the grapevine that Ken Stillwell may have been slightly upset. Or flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted is
more of a better word.
We got confirmation on Stillwell's flabbergastedness.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
Well,
sorry,
I'm asking, did we get that?
I haven't seen any. I haven't heard any ill winds of flabbergast. No.
Now, number one this week was a tie, Just Exciting and Von Hess. Can you explain the process of how they got to be number one in a tie?
When I saw Just Exciting at the top of the cage at BCW, I was reminded of Jimmy Snuka and his Madison Square Garden dive onto Don Morocco. Just Exciting got ranked because of his Jimmy Snuka-like dive.
I could see that, I guess. Did you know,
yes,
2T, that Jimmy Snuka actually did that in Portland years before the famous New York dive?
And was it on top of a steel cage?
Yes, off the top of the cage. Of course, he did it off the ropes thousands of times, but off the top of the cage, he did it in Portland way before he did it at Madison Square Garden.
So you're saying that his Portland wrestling one was a precursor to Madison Square Garden? Precursor.
Yes, that is accurate.
Now, who did he jump onto on the Portland Wrestling one? Who was the unfortunate victim?
Buddy Rose.
Oh, I thought it may have been the Wily ring veteran Haru Sasaki.
No, it was Buddy Rose.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Snuka ever wrestled Haru Sasaki, the man known for being in the opening matches throughout Portland wrestling history without fail, Haru Sasaki.
That I don't know for sure. We may have to go to a Portland expert to get confirmation on this very subject.
That would be very good to see if Haru Sasaki ever advanced past the first card.
Possibly.
I would like to think that Haru Sasaki was in a battle royal or two. That would have been nice, but I don't know if he ever was.
I will attempt to find this out and relay that to you.
That would be very good, yes. Very good. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, Sign, you saw the unbridled action at Blue Collar Wrestling. That was a record crowd that we saw.
Pretty close, if not the record, yeah.
What other crowds and what other time would there have been a crowd like that? I'm wondering.
Well, a couple of the outdoor shows had very large crowds. When Kevin Sullivan and Honky Tonk Man faced off in six-man action, I know that they had to bring out extra chairs three separate times to accommodate the fans.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. I guess that would have been very close. Yes. Wow. All right.
I don't know the exact number, but I believe it was over 400 fans was the record of note at BCW. And I believe that actually may have been the first pay-per-view.
Holy wow, okay, all right. Well, now, Sign Guy, a lot of concerned fans want to know if you have recovered from the RKO that you received from Bad Flood. I mean, Bad Blood.
Not quite, but I'm getting there. He was very angry. Sarah Irene distracted me with a couple of things. She was, you know, overcome with her desire for me, distracting me. And when I recovered, I saw Bad Blood pinned. He took offense to that. Hit me in my face twice and gave me an RKO. Who does that?
I have no idea. No idea. Yes. You notice that Bad Blood
was
not ranked.
You heard Patty fine Bad Blood over $1,300.
I think that's about how much he makes per match at Blue Collar Wrestling.
I can't confirm what he makes there. I don't handle the pay, but that could be.
Wow. Well, now, I know that you had a wrestler running amok with a chainsaw, and this caused one young boy rumored to almost run from the venue in terror. Yes. He almost ran past the payment table near the front of the door. I almost ran, yes. Well, I almost ran, but it was from the chainsaw fumes that were given off. It almost caused me to hallucinate.
Now, were you hallucinating about Haru Sasaka having been a main event match?
No, I believe that the fumes from Leatherface's chainsaw caused me to momentarily believe that Darth Carter was in the ring, and he himself was given an RKO to Bad Blood. Yes.
I'm not sure how I would have felt if that had happened.
Yes, and for just a moment, that those fumes from his chainsaw caused me to believe that the contract kilters were on site. Contract kilters.
I've never seen the contract kilters at BCW. That'd be quite the interesting turn of events.
That would be very good. Yes.
Imagine
yes.
The contract
now,
kilters versus Brent Dynasty's Ian Baron and Brian Armstrong.
Oh, now that would be very huge. Maybe we will see that at the end of the month near Halloween. Yes.
Perhaps. Now, speaking of Brian Armstrong, he will be on this very program on Sunday afternoon. Brian Armstrong, one half of the BCW Tag Team Champions, our guest on Sunday.
Wow. Sunday afternoon?
Yes.
I myself feel an emergency insertion coming on.
Is that the name of your finishing move?
That would be very appropriate, I think, yes. I mean, boy, that'd be great for someone like El Ringo Tortuga. It certainly, as hell, isn't the finishing move of Devin Bellinger.
What would his be?
Boy, let me see. Probably the split personality. Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
The multiple personalities. Probably his move would be a Hurricane Rana with the diluted, how would you say, diluted, what do they call that, id? It is part of the subconsciousness, the ego or the superego. No, his would be something like the deluded delusion that he attended Western Washington University in 1979.
Well, maybe one of his personalities really did.
Well, maybe so, yes. we'll have to ask Devin Bellinger right now if he has a finishing move. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. Yes.
Why are you on the air?
Well, Well, I'm not sure. Well, I think it's a question that really needs to be answered post haste.
All right.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Oh boy. One sec. Okay, let me see. This is huge. Okay. Well, now, well, sign. I was very struck with episode 315 of the Sign of the Times. Yes. I think Tyson Tank was very, how would you say, interested in the Casey Carlisle photos. Yes, very interested.
Well, who wouldn't be?
He wanted you to cut out Casey Carlisle's belt and give it to him. So he had a belt.
Yeah, but I did not.
At the time, was Tyson Tank beltless? Didn't he hold any Northwest belts at that Sign of the Times episode 315?
Honestly, I'm not sure. He may have been inter-city champion at that point, but I'm not sure.
Inter-city? Oh, okay. Well, now there's a question right there that came up. Were you inter-city champs at the time of the Sign of the Times episode 315?
I was not.
Okay. Boy, all right. Well, now I have just called up Devin Bellinger. This is huge, and I'm going to ask him that question. This is on-air live.
If I hold your city title?
Well, yes.
Oh, okay.
Inter-city.
Well, the answer is no, I never have yet.
Oh, okay. Well, now, when you mention inner-city sign, I'm wondering if you ever saw the YouTube clip, Jimmy and Timmy join the Crips.
No.
Jimmy and Timmy. You've never seen that?
Never have.
Oh, okay. Well, now, in South Park, they pretty much belong to an urban area, at least Jimmy and Timmy, and they join the Cripples. And the Cripple gang leader calls Jimmy and Timmy Roller and Four Legs.
Yes.
And Jimmy and Timmy accidentally they had no recollection that they did this, and just by happenstance, they smoked 10 Bloods, 10 Blood gang members.
Well, that's pretty heavy.
Oh, it is heavy. That's heavy stuff. Okay, boy, I got my hands full. Okay, I am now writing Devin Bellinger a wrestling question. This is huge. Just a second.
This is riveting. Completely riveting. Wow, we should have
all right
music to play for this.
Question was posted. But no, I don't think I can plug in music to Devin's Facebook page, which is sad.
It really is.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, all right. Boy. Now, Sign Guy, can you tell us who we have on today? Because people may not have had the time to preview who we had on. Who do we got coming on in about 3 minutes?
We are scheduled to have Tyson Tank, like I mentioned earlier.
The man in the episode 315, the Windy episode edition.
I believe that was called the seminar episode.
Oh, well, now you see, now the seminar episode is good name for it. It is relevant, yes. But you could also said something like the cinder block edition, because behind you and Tyson was rows of cinder block that made up that wall.
True, but we don't change the names, as you know. And I believe our guest has joined us Tyson Fink, are you with us?
This is him.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I appreciate that. Very surprisingly, this is your first time with us. So,
yes, it is.
Well, with that, we're going to give you the first-timer's question to start. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
You know, ever since I was about 4 years old, I watched Goldberg jackhammer everybody. I said, at a very young age, I want to be that guy. That's actually what got me into it. And then I watched him pick the crap out of Booker T, and I loved it.
Now, of course, you wrestle here in Western Washington. How easy was it for you to find professional wrestler trainers, and how easy was it for you to get into the business yourself?
You know, honestly, it was a difficult challenge. I actually worked with somebody that I'm not proud of working with. He's quote-unquote trained with the company SCW, and he got me in contact with one of the local promoters, Ron Von Hess. But it was a challenge to find something, because nobody really broadcasted it. So I found out through a coworker about professional wrestling, and that's when I got my start.
There's been a lot of controversy and a lot of fan interest in the goings-on in Woo America recently, because you've been embroiled in this big controversy between yourself and Jackson Bourne. At one point, you, Jackson, Lance Dean, and Leon Knight, all part of the faction known collectively as Mr. T. What happened to Mr. T to bring us to... Yes, MRT, Mr. T. What led us to this point to where now you and Jackson are brawling all over the place and feuding with each other?
You know, I don't know what led us to this point, other than I think it was jealousy. I was always bigger, stronger, and hell, people liked me more than Jackson. And he was supposed to be this quote-unquote untouchable president. But you know something? I think when it came down to the inner city title, I beat him 1-2-3 to become champion. I think that's what set it off. Something snapped in his mind, and he attacked me, and I retaliated, and I beat the hell out of him. And no longer friends with him.
Now, I mentioned the other members, and of course that means you've not only been a singles wrestler, you've been in many tag team matches. You've had a few different partners in your career. Do you have a preference as far as tag team wrestling or singles wrestling?
Yeah, I don't mind either one of them. They both have the pluses and the minuses. If I had to choose one, though, I'd say I'm more of a solo wrestler. I like to be on my own. I like to be responsible for my own actions. I like to say things in my own hands. I don't like to have to rely on other people to have my back. I just want to have my own and take care of my business. To answer your question, I'll say singles wrestling.
Fair enough. Now, you frequently wrestle at La Pablanita's for Woo America, but you've wrestled for a number of organizations and have been in several towns here in Western Washington. Do you have a personal favorite venue where you wrestle, like just the actual building itself for whatever reason is really extraordinary in your view?
You know, I've wrestled in quite a few places. The problem is this is way too small. It's too small of a venue. It's way too packed. But I think my favorite place that I've ever wrestled was at the White River Amphitheater. And that was one of the most coolest experiences of my entire life. Having about 2,000 people surrounding the ring. And I just can't tell you what kind of an adrenaline rush that was. Everything from The Rock and Austin talking about giving you goosebumps, they weren't kidding. And you got a bunch of people screaming your name and chanting for you. That's a humbling experience. So I'll say White River Amphitheater to answer your question. That's probably my favorite venue.
That is a very good venue for sure. Now, you have also wrestled at the festival that was held in Seattle last year, and you had a double bull rope match, tag team match. It might have been your greatest achievement ever in your career. You squashed that idiot Darth Carta, apparently. I missed it because I was studying the rule book in the back at the time and missed it. But my understanding is you slaughtered that idiot. Can you tell us about that night? And was it, in fact, the greatest night of your life?
I think probably wrestling-wise it was. I think I gave you so many problems. He's a little slick little thing. I couldn't get my hands on him very well. Plus, he kept running over Kevin Sullivan like a baby. I would consider that one of the highlights of my career, smashing that little squirt.
He was so terrible, even Kevin Sullivan, his manager, turned against him at the end of that thing.
I remember seeing that. He walked off.
Well, we have a game that we like to play on this show. I think you're a perfect candidate for this. We call it Word Association. I will name some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. First name, Sunny Days.
Beautiful.
Mr. Sexy Pants, Paul Preston.
Uptight.
Randy the Pimp Taylor.
A legend.
Kellen Reitz.
Pretty boy.
Casey Carlisle.
Wow.
Kevin Sullivan.
The Taskmaster.
Tommy Celsius.
Not familiar with him.
Darth Carta. Asher Garcia.
Annoying.
The last one, Paul Cerberus.
Brave enemy.
Now, years ago, when you were first breaking into the business, you were on an episode of The Sign of the Times. You were a little uneasy of it. You didn't like to say too much. You weren't totally comfortable in interviews at that point in time. Watching the landscape of the business here in our area in the Pacific Northwest, especially as you've grown in your career and you've done more interviews and have studied that aspect of it, who would you say does the best interview out of anybody in our area today?
Well, I've been interviewed by a few people. My coach Jones, yourself, fine guy, and there's a few others. But you know, you asked me the hardest question. Like, I would say it'd be you, fine guy. You asked me some of the hardest questions, and I really have to think about them. I can't just blurt out answers because they would be the wrong answer. When Mike puts me on the spot, I kind of freeze up and don't know what to say because I'm pissed off, or you know, it gets me at the wrong time. So to answer your question, I say you because you give me time to. You catch me in a good mood.
Fair enough. All right. Now, you in your career have been in the ring with a lot of people that are known to chop very hard. There's a lot of people in the business that can almost end a match just on a knife edge chop. They're that hard. Looking back through all the matches you've had with all the opponents you've faced, who would you say has the hardest chop of anyone you've been in the ring with so far?
I have to think about this one. Not a lot of people chop me because I chop back. But if I had to say anyone, because one guy was kind of ballsy to do it, I'd say it'd be Ron Von Hess. He caught me off guard with 1-1. And it hurt. I wasn't expecting it.
Now, he also has a very mean eye rake. Has he raked your eyes very often?
The only thing he's done to me is punch me in the nuts about 4 times and slap me twice.
He once got me twice in a 30-second match. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I can feel your pain.
I mean, you're really going to go up to a big guy that weighs 400 pounds and put his eye out? No, I think you're going to go for the genitals.
Yeah, it's one of his favorite spots. Well, at this point in time, QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure that he has questions for you as well. So, Fez, help you as I pass things over to QT for a bit.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the first ever broadcast on the Turnbuckle Terminal Show. Welcome.
I'm sorry, I could not hear that question.
Oh, welcome to your first ever interview on our show.
Okay, cool.
Jason, I'd like to train on Sunday's word association, the word association. I mentioned three wrestlers, and the first word that pops into your mind, an expanded version.
Okay.
How about Sarah Irene?
Sarah Irene. She's explosive.
Explosive? Okay.
Explosive.
How about DeMarcus James?
Charismatic.
All right. And the last one, Goblin.
Leader.
Leader, okay. Actually, I will include one more. Sasquatch.
He's a lump.
A lump? Hey, now, that's not exactly a glowing report. Would you say that he reminds you of a lump in a gravy, which would be an unburst flour kernel? A flour to thicken the gravy. Is that kind of lump?
You know, I'd compare him more to like a pimple. He's annoying, he's there, and he's ugly.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope he's
great.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, that concludes word association. Very good. You did very well. There were no right or wrong answers. Yes. It was kind of like you appeared before a session of Congress and you were trying to get in on the Supreme Court. Yes. That's what our word associations are like. Okay. You did very well.
Oh, okay.
Well, Tyson, I recently saw the Sign of the Times, episode 315, the seminar edition, which you were a part of. And at the 2:45 mark, Sign Guy asked if you had ever been to Las Vegas, and you said once. You said
yes.
That you had been on two rides and broke one. Can you tell us what ride you broke?
It was a ride at Circus. It was a little kid ride, a little airplane ride.
Wow.
I don't remember the exact name of it, but the basic concept of it is you pull a little toggle stick, it goes up and down.
You had a toggle
and
switch?
It would
or
go up.
Wow.
Yeah,
and,
it's like you pull back on a toggle switch and it goes up and down.
Wow, very interesting. Okay, didn't they have one of those signs? You must be at least this tall to get on this ride. Didn't they have that?
I was that tall to get on the ride. I was just too damn heavy. They didn't have a weight limit.
Oh, okay. Now my question is: halfway through this ride, or maybe even a minute into this ride, did the hydraulics start to leak oil?
Yeah, the hydraulics just leak a little bit of hydraulic fluid, and I scared the kid in front of me.
You scared the kid in front of me?
He was screaming for his mommy. Yeah, he was in the next ride above me, and then I guess it was affecting his ride, too.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. It was starting to strain.
They were connected on a... Yeah. Not to mention
they were,
the ride was rocking back and forth.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that you may have made that kid very nervous by wearing the glasses that you wore in episode 315, the shades.
the Macho Man ones?
Yeah, I thought they were Jimmy Anvil Neidhart shades.
No, I tried to do like a... I tried to paint it up like Macho Man. I was a big Macho Man kid.
Oh, all right. Okay. Okay, well, now since this video, the Sign of the Times, episode 315, have you been in touch with Dylan Bostic, the man who has been 18 years old for 10 years now?
I have no idea who that is.
Well, Sign Guy mentioned that Dylan Bostic has been 18 years old for 10 years. He, after this interview, he will give you hopefully some clips of Dylan Bostic and fill you in.
Okay.
All right. Well, Tyson, at the 6:02 mark, Sign Guy asked you if you knew what he had going on Friday. You said no, and Sign Guy said that we had on a wrestler from Chicago, Santana Sparks. Now, as you know, Chicago is nicknamed the Windy City, and at that precise moment in the video, you can hear the wind pick up as on cue. My question is, Tacoma used to have the moniker the Aroma of Tacoma. What would have happened if somebody had on Coach Mike Jones and he mentioned the Aroma of Tacoma, the city where Coach Mike is from, would we have had a Pepe Le Pew moment, in your opinion?
Man, that stuff is so bad. I used to work right next to that place. Like, I was hanging off a building. You can see the poo-poo plant. It was horrible. Yes, it would be terrible. It would be a horrible thing. people were probably vomiting where they stood.
All right. So right at this moment, on this sign of on this episode of Turnbuckle Turmoil, Tyson Stewart is saying that we would have had a confirmed Pepe Le Pew moment.
All right.
Yes.
We have cleared that up. Now, Tyson, when you were in Tacoma, I'm sure you were doing some bricklaying work or some masonry. You studied at West Sound Technical Skills Center. My question is, did you graduate with honors or with a 3.9 grade point average, thus graduating summa cum laude, honors and a gold tassel on your cap and gown? Summa cum laude.
No. I did not. I had a 3.2 grade point average.
Oh.
So I did not graduate with honors.
All right. No summa cum laude. I'm going to mark that down. Very good. All right. Okay. Well, Tyson, you mentioned in this video that your legs were sore from having attempted to leg press 1,000 pounds. My question is, have you ever been in a leg press competition with Buddy Highway?
No, but bring it on.
Oh, wow. Okay, we may have a contest here. As you know, Buddy Highway pretty much transformed his body by getting into powerlifting routines and workouts, and he was recently ranked the number 2 powerlifter in Oregon.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a good accomplishment.
Well, maybe get together with Sun Guy and arrange a powerlifting contest squat competition at intermission during one of our wrestling events in the Northwest. A squat competition.
Ooh, squat. That'll be tough. I'm better at leg press, but we could do it.
How much... This begs to bring up the question, how much do you think Darth Carter could squat? Would it be a broomstick with 2 angel food cakes at each end?
No, I think he'd struggle with that.
Oh,
to be honest. Yeah, no meat on his bones.
I think you're underestimating the power of Darth Carter. I think he could squat a broomstick with 2 angel food cakes. Yes.
You know, I would love to see him do it.
Oh, I have faith in the guy. I think he could do it. I will try to arrange with Tex Thompson a squat competition between you, Buddy Highway, and Darth Carter.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Let's do it. Do it. Let's have some fun.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Tyson, on this week's Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Wrestling Rankings, now they were posted on Coach Jones' Facebook page, but we had a little bit of trouble projecting these into a readable format. You were ranked number 2 3/4 after being ranked number 1 for 2 weeks in a row. This past Sunday, you were sandwiched between Northwest Wrestling superfan Josh James, who was ranked number 3, and Tommy Celsius and Gregor Petrov at number 2 for last Sunday's last man standing match at Blue Collar Wrestling. So you were between those two.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, was that a question?
Oh, no, it was just...
Well, you know what? I honestly deserve that. I haven't wrestled in about, I don't know, about a couple of weeks. I had an injury at work, and I have an infection on my stomach. So it kept me out of action for a few weeks. So I do deserve it. But once I get back, I can guarantee that I'll be number 1 again.
Wow. Well, I'm sure you did enjoy for 2 weeks in a row that coveted fruit pie for being ranked number one.
I enjoyed the fruit pie. Actually, I smashed it all in my face. And I thought
you
Paul Servius.
Oh, okay. Paul Servius. Okay. Wow, that's a,
yeah.
Okay. Great.
I even fruit pie right in front of it.
Can we ask what your hand injury was? Did you get your hand crushed by a cinder block?
No, I got my stomach cut open by an angle grinder.
Ooh, boy. Boy, that's rough. Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Well, now, Tyson, it's no shame that Josh James was ranked just below you. And Tommy Celsius and Grigor Petrov, I got to tell you, they put on a hell of a match, the last man standing match, and Grigor Petrov was technically the loser, but in that match, there was really no loser.
You know, when it comes to those kinds of matches, you can't always tell who's a loser. I mean, you're going so you can't get up. I mean, that's the most physically painful way to do a wrestling match. You go till you can't stand. There's no loser in that ever, in my opinion. Both guys should be getting congratulated for that. That's an achievement. That's an accomplishment. Unless the dude just totally dies and didn't really put up a fight like that Darth Carter guy.
I think Darth Carter is going to surprise you in that deadlifting contest that I'm going to try to arrange with Tex Thompson. I think it's going to surprise you. Okay. I'm not sure if Darth Carter has ever been in a last man standing match, though. I'll have to do some research on that. Yes. Okay. You mentioned that you were a big fan of Goldberg growing up and his spears. What about Rhino and his gores? Were they an influence?
Absolutely. There was no better person who could spear better than Rhino. Nobody. I don't care who the hell you are. Goldberg doesn't hold a flame to Rhino when it comes to just spearing people. I mean, they called it the gore for a reason. You weren't getting up from it. I mean, Goldberg used that move to set up for a jackhammer. That was the finishing putaway. Rhino used it because he could just run through anybody he wanted to. Big fan of Rhino. Huge respect for Rhino.
Yeah, Rhino even reminds me of the running back in the NFL, Frank Gore. Yes, Frank Gore. Okay. All right.
Is it because his finishing move is off the gore, or because one of them is really short, and the other one's really like a little bit taller?
Yes.
Not to mention the flavor's different.
Oh yeah, you're right on that. Yes. Okay. Well, Tyson, Goldberg was known to make his WWE appearances in a fountain of sparks. A massive amount of sparks. Are there any truths to the rumors that Darth Carter has been paid a handsome fee to hold up a single sparkler fireworks stick for your next entrance at La Promenitas? A single sparkler.
You know what? I don't know if you saw it, but I was a real big fan of Goldberg, and if you watch Goldberg, he used to have hair on his body. I'm assuming he started shaving his body due to the times he could have caught on fire. I'm covered in hair head to toe, man. I don't really want any fire around me. I think I can make a big enough appearance without having to have any flames or any sparklers or any type of, you know, gunpowder and fire around me. I don't need all that.
All right. I will pass on to Darth Carter that he will not be able to hold up the single sparkler stick for your entrance at La Promenitas. But for me, I'm sad. Yes.
I don't think management would like it either.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Well, Tyson, if I could travel back in time, if I could travel back in time and become a wrestling promoter, I would try to arrange a match between you and Rikishi Fatu. Not that I would like to see him give you a stink face, but to see you dance with him at the end of the match. I think that would be huge.
If you didn't get me within 10 feet of Rikishi Fatu, I guarantee I'm going to dance with the guy. I will dance. I will do spinneroonies. I will dance with him. I'll let him throw me on his shoulders and we both can do boogie down. I don't care. Rikishi is the man. I would love to do a dance segment with Rikishi. He'd probably do it better than me, though. I'm not a great dancer, but it would be an honor to do it with him.
Now, would you rather dance with Rikishi Fatu or Scotty Too Hotty?
Oh, definitely Rikishi. Rikishi's the king of dancing. I think he was a break dancer before he was a wrestler. If I remember correctly, like he did dancing. I was kind of
what? Holy smokes. He was a break dancer, huh?
I don't know if he did all the spinning stuff, but I mean he used to do the dancing. And then he incorporated it to his gimmick there.
Well, somehow Rikishi Fatu reminds me of the Saturday Night Live skit when Patrick Swayze danced at Chippendales with Chris Farley.
Oh, geez. Well, we really just transitioned into Patrick Swayze. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that brings up my next question. On your next Sign of the Times, will you yourself show us some dance steps?
Yeah, I get drunk first.
This is huge, Time Guy. We will have Tyson on our next Sign of the Times show with some dance steps. You have heard it here. I can't believe I made this happen. This is great. Okay.
Beer, though, I have to have fear.
Oh, you got to have fear. Okay. I will try to have you do some dance steps with Coach Mike Jones then. Yes.
As long as I get a blow his whistle.
Hey, all right. Okay, this is huge. I'm going to get back. I've got two projects to line up the next Sign of the Times, a dance-off between you and Coach Mike Jones, and a powerlifting contest through Tex Thompson between you, Buddy Highway, and Darth Carter. I'm going to be very busy.
I better start talking, man. I'm getting myself some stuff.
Well, if you win this dance contest against Coach Mike Jones, you could end up getting ranked number one again.
Hey, let's do it.
Oh, okay. All right. Back to you soon, guys.
I have a dance battle. Old school.
Yes.
Mike Jones, you're going to get served.
Okay, back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Tyson, we have just a few minutes left on the show today, and I want to give ample time to you. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug or promote anything and everything you got, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite bagel shop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you to all the fans out there that have been listening. I hope I haven't let any of you guys down. I give you guys 110% when I'm in that ring. Tyson, Tank don't always come out on top, but I do give up. I do work my ass off, and I do try hard for you people. I do got some t-shirts for sale. They will be at La Pablo Nita's on the 7th or the 27th, and at NGW on the 20th. I got some t-shirts. Get some more supplies last. If you are a bigger size, let me know. Stay up front. and I can get them pre-ordered for you. You can also then hit me up on social media under Tyson Stewart, or if you just type in Tyson Tank, you guys can find me there too. That's pretty much all I really got. I don't really do a whole lot of advertisement of myself. But I think that's all I got for you guys.
All right. Well, Tyson Tank, thank you very much for being the guest today. We appreciate it greatly. I will see you fairly soon. Fans, if you get the chance to see Tyson Tank in person, buy yourself a ticket. Watch what he does. Hopefully he'll smash that idiot Darth Carter again sometime and I can actually see it, because that'd be great. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Oh, yeah, I would love to see it. All right, we'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Portland, Oregon's own Brian Armstrong, not to be confused with the WWE's Brian Armstrong, our guest on Sunday. So make sure you have plans to be with us, and we'll talk to you then. The only thing I want to do.